Today is the first day of our new liturgical year, the first Sunday of Advent. And Advent is really a time of preparation, of hopeful, watchful expectation, a time of prayer. And really, there's a sort of a twofold aspect to Advent. One looks back to the past, and the other looks forward to the future. We look back to the past to remember the fact that God loved the world so much that he sent his Son. And so we look back and prepare for the anniversary of Christmas when we celebrate the birth of our Savior. So that's an event that took place in the past when God sent his Son into this world to be born, to be raised, to die on the cross, to open the gates of heaven so that we could be saved. So it's preparation for the anniversary of Christmas. But there's another aspect that looks forward to the future, and that is our hopeful expectation for the second coming of Christ, the great event, whenever that will take place, but also the event when the Lord comes individually to us at the hour of our death. The hour of our death, as well as the second coming of Christ, are times that we do not know the day or the hour. We don't know when those events will take place. So that's a twofold aspect of Advent, looking back to the past, celebrating Christmas, the event, the anniversary of the Lord's birth, which took place 2,000 years ago, and looking forward to the future, to when the Lord comes again to take us individually at the hour of our death, but also at his great second coming. Now, today's gospel, though, focuses upon that second aspect, the looking forward to the second coming of Christ. The Lord tells us there will be signs that will take place. He says there will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. Nations will be in turmoil. The book of Revelation tells us that the sun will be darkened, that the moon will become blood red, and that the stars will see falling from the sky. And there will be many difficulties that will occur. All of nature will be in turmoil at the second coming of Christ. In fact, the Lord even says people will die of fright in anticipation of the end of the world, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. And it says, we will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. Look how different that coming of the Lord is from the first coming. When the Lord came the first time, he came in hiddenness, in humility, in a little tiny cave, in such great obscurity, really hardly anyone knew. And yet, the second coming of Christ, Jesus says, will come in glory and power to judge the living and the dead. But that makes an interesting point. It says there'll be two different reactions to the second coming of Christ. For those evildoers, the Bible says, it'll be a day of terror, a day of fright. But for the faithful Christians, God willing for all of us, it's a day of rejoicing. It's a day where we look forward to the coming of the Lord. Jesus says, when these signs happen, stand tall, raise your heads, for your redemption is at hand. We look forward as Christians to the second coming of Christ. If we're in God's grace, living according to the commandments, in love with the Lord, we look forward to the Lord's return. It's something that we actually pray for every single day when we say the Our Father. We say, Thy kingdom come. We're praying for the second coming of Christ whenever we pray the Our Father. At the Mass, we say, Deliver us, Lord, from every evil. Grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin. Protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's great expectation and great joy that we should have and look forward to the Lord's second coming. The Lord then goes on to say that he warns us not to become drowsy or morally lazy, morally drowsy. And he says there are three things that can happen to us, because the day of the Lord, it says, will come like a thief in the night. It says that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. And he says, Do not let that day catch you by surprise, like a trap, like a thief in the night. You know, a priest friend of mine told me the story once of he was newly ordained, and his pastor had gone on vacation after Christmas and was expected back, you know, soon. And this priest I know was a Saturday night. He was sitting in the rectory downstairs working on his homily. Peace and quiet. And he heard some noise upstairs, so he figured his pastor had come home early, and he shouted, "Oh, hello, Father Rodriguez. Welcome home. Hope you had a nice vacation." Didn't hear anything. Kept hearing a little bit of noise up there. Thought his pastor didn't hear him. So he finished working on the homily. Then he went down the hall, and then he went into his bedroom. And he noticed that his closet doors were open. He thought, well, that's sort of funny. That's strange, because I always close my closet doors. And so he closed the doors, and then he turned around, and he saw that the drawers of the bureau were opened, and that things were scattered around. And then the jewelry box where he kept his grandfather's silver pocket watch and where he kept all his possessions, a watch and valuables, was open. So they looked at his bed, and the covers of the bed had been turned down, and there was a pillowcase missing from the pillow. And then he realized he was being robbed at that very moment, and that it wasn't Father Rodriguez upstairs, it was the thief. Oh, he didn't know what to do. He began to tremble in his boots. He began to get a little bit afraid, and so he walked out of his room, and just at that moment, the thief was coming down the steps. And he said it was a typical thief, all dressed in black, with a black nylon stocking over his face, carrying his pillowcase with a bunch of stuff in it. The priest was scared to death. The only thing he could shout was, "Stop, thief!" He said he watched a lot of old movies. That's the only thing that came to mind. He was scared to death. Well, the thief did not stop. The thief ran out the door and got away with these valuables. But he always remembered that as an example of the thief who comes at a time when we least expect. You know, he was there in peace, working on his homily in the rectory, and that very moment, the thief was in the house. And so, of course, the Lord says that he will come like a thief in the night. But notice, Jesus doesn't come to steal anything. He comes to give. He comes to give us eternal life. The only thing maybe Jesus wants to steal is our love and our heart. But really, he comes to give. He comes to give us eternal life. And again, if we're ready to meet the Lord, we look forward to that second coming of Christ. We can't wait to meet the Lord. And again, remember the Lord says that there are three things that can make us spiritually drowsy. He says here, number one is carousing. This means the living a life of immorality or dissipation, sort of living like a pagan. Second, he says, drunkenness. Drunkenness is a terrible sin that makes us morally weak. And of course, we should make a comment about this, that alcohol is a blessing. It's a gift from God. The Bible even says in the Old Testament that wine is given to cheer man's heart. So actually, it's a good thing. Jesus changed water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana. So when it's used properly, it's a blessing. But when it's abused, it becomes sinful. Even St. Paul wrote to Timothy and said to take a little bit of wine with your meal to help your digestive problems. Okay, they didn't have Pepto-Bismol back in those days, so Paul even recommended a little bit of wine with Timothy's meal. So there's nothing evil or sinful in itself in alcohol if it's used in moderation. The Bible condemns drunkenness or the abuse of alcohol. And certainly, I think in our society, according to a recent study I read, it's the number one destroyer of marriages in America is alcohol problems that derive. And we think of all the tragedies of those killed by drunk drivers and in our society. So we must be very careful to use, but not to abuse, this gift that the Lord has given us. And it's something that is very dangerous, and the Bible says that we must be very careful because It can lead to many, many problems. That's why the Bible condemns drunkenness. And third, the anxieties of daily life. As we prepare for Christmas, we have extra anxiety. So we have to be careful not to fall into that trap of being consumed with all the anxieties of daily life. Because we don't want to be caught off guard when the Lord comes. We should look forward to His second coming. And Jesus concludes by giving us two things that we should do to prepare for the Son of Man. He says, number one, be vigilant at all times. In other words, always be in the state of readiness, in the state of grace, in the state of friendship with the Lord. If we are always ready, then we should have no fear of death, no fear of the second coming of Christ. On the other hand, we look forward to seeing Jesus face to face. And secondly, we should pray to have the strength to face the future. So there it is, vigilance and prayer. And what a great opportunity we have during Advent, not only to look back at the birth of Christ our Savior, but to look ahead to prepare for the second coming of Christ. So either one of two ways, we'll be in dread or fear or terror at the second coming of the Lord, or, which is the case with us, we look forward to His second coming in glory. God bless you.